It's good to see you here. We're in our third part of our series on the Joshua generation. The Lord has been speaking to us and speaking to us about his plans, his purposes, his promises, his prophetic words for us as a church. I believe that the time has come for us to take some steps of intentionality with the Lord into new territories, embracing and expressing the kingdom of God, which the scripture teaches us is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do that in just a minute. We're going to look at this third part in Joshua, the series. You're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 2, if you want to go ahead and look in your Bibles there. Just to remind you this morning, the notes are online. So some of us, the best way we learn is actually by taking detailed notes. I know that that's the way that I process. But others, if you'll just have that resource is there under messages, so it's there for you. We want to be praying for Pastor Steve and Sahoy. They're away this week, as they do every year at this time. They have a retreat where they host people coming to join them in Tennessee. And then they have a week of vacation. And then Pastor Steve is continuing a season of writing and trying to get out of him the things that the Lord has put into him, a rich deposit. And so I want you to invite you to keep praying for Pastor Steve and Sahoy and their time. And then I want to encourage you with the two announcements that Timothy made this morning. I want to encourage you about Discovery Day. We believe that God is adding to our midst. We have a good number of people that are coming to Discovery Day. It's a part of our process to become a member at Calvary. It's a five-step process that helps us to help you become a part of who God has called us to be. It's also a wonderful chance, if you are not sure about where God is leading you, to come to Discovery Day and find out and to just prayerfully consider what God is doing here, and is he adding you to this midst, to this mix of people, this body of Christ. God adds to the body as he wills, and I believe that God's speaking and moving and working. We're actually praying, asking the Lord to add to this harvest field the laborers that he wants to partner with us as we partner with him locally and globally from this place. So listen to the voice of the Lord. He will speak to you and guide you where you need to be. We've had the privilege of leading several people to the Lord over the past several months, and this is an opportunity for them to just plug into the church family that God's put them in. So Discovery Day is a wonderful opportunity. The ministry team training, all of us need to keep getting energized and re-anointed in what the Lord is doing. We leak of faith, and especially in this culture, our culture is rationalistic. Our culture said God doesn't move in signs and wonders. God's spirit is far off, and God wants us to swim upstream against those lies, and he wants us to show up to proclaim and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom of God. Ministry team training is a great place to come to be anointed, refreshed, inspired, and energized. So I want to challenge you, even if you've been through all the sessions, come and audit one of them. Keeping our transformation alive requires sowing seeds to what God is doing in our life, and ministry team training is a gift there. If you've not been through all the sessions, please pick out one of the sessions and come and attend that seminar and go through the process until you're finished. What we're trying to do is we want to help the body of Christ be equipped to partner with Jesus, because he's on the move and active, and we want to learn how to both proclaim and demonstrate what it's like when he shows up on the scene. So let's pray this morning. Father, this morning, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the words that you give us to speak and to share. We thank you for your written word. We thank you for Jesus, the living word, the word of God. We thank you that you're here and you've been speaking to us and moving in our midst. And Lord, we pray as we spend time together in this conversation, we pray that you would come with the power of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction, pinpoint accuracy, Lord Jesus, as you speak to us. So, Father God, we welcome you to move in our midst. Holy Spirit, we need your presence. Lord Jesus, you are our good shepherd. You are our king, our bridegroom, and our judge, and we trust your words. Speak to us and meet with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been spending some time in the book of Joshua. We've been considering the fact that God wants to encourage us in intentionality in this season, in our spheres of influence. The scripture says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And in part number one, we talked about taking intentional steps with the Lord. We looked at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And the scripture says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I have promised to Moses. It was like the word that the Lord gave to Moses himself. He said, I'm going to deliver my people out of Egypt. And he said, now, Moses, you go and set them free. In other words, God said, I'm at work and I want you to partner with me. Every place where you set your foot. I believe God wants to move in new, profound ways in our spheres of influence, in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our school places, our entertainment places. God wants to move and work and wants us to be a part of it, but we have to take steps. There are steps of action. And then the Lord promises, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's the promises of the Lord. It's the presence of the Lord. That's what engenders us to be strong and courageous. That is our weapon. His presence and his promised present words are our weapons against fear and against discouragement. And then the second week, we talked about taking on the mantle of Joshua from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. And we need to know what God is saying to us, just as Joshua was willing to listen and to obey. And we need to respond by getting ready. There's preparations to make. So we talked about some of the responsibilities or the requirements to get ready to take on leadership. I believe that there's anointing upon us. Calvary is a body. I believe that God has called us to continue pioneering, to continue paving a way, making a way, creating a wake. I believe that's a part of our calling, and God is not finished with us yet. The scripture says that the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former in Haggai chapter 2. And I believe that with all my heart. Our best days as the church in America, our best days as Calvary Community Church are not behind us. They're ahead of us because of what God has promised and what he's doing. Today, part three, the Joshua generation. I want to talk about looking for the testimony. Looking for the testimony of what God is doing. Looking for the testimony of what God is doing. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 2. We're going to look some in Numbers and then in Joshua chapter 5 and then even jump to Luke chapter 10 because these are testimonies in Scripture of God inviting his people to join him in spying out or in paying attention to and looking into what he is doing in their spheres of influence and around them. So let's look at these passages together. So you've opened your Bible to Joshua chapter 2. In Joshua chapter 1, we see the transition to Joshua. The Lord tells him that he has a mantle of leadership for him. Then Joshua has an assignment to lead the people into the promises, the plans, the prophetic words of the Lord that he has given. He tells the people to get ready. And then in Joshua chapter 2, the scripture says that he sends two spies into the land, especially to Jericho, and to check it out, what's going on. So let's read some verses in Joshua chapter 2 together. Verse 1, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and they entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. Then look at verse 8. This is what the Lord says. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof, speaking of Rahab, and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on all of us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now skip to verse 22. When the two spies left, they went into the hills and they stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told them everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting because of us. We're looking for the testimony of what God is doing. And here we have the report of Joshua sending the two spies to go into the territory and to see what is going on there. And this story is in significant contrast to 40 years before, when Moses had sent in the spies. He sent in 12 of the people, 12 leaders of the people, to go into the land, to spy out the land. They were there for 40 days. They went all over the place, and they brought back a report, these 12 spies. And what I want you to do now is turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're actually going to look there at the story as these spies, the 12 spies 40 years earlier, bring a report. We're looking for the testimony of God. I believe if we're going to be a part of the generation of Joshua, the Joshua generation, we've got to know how to look for the testimony of what God is doing around us in the land. So, verse 25, Numbers chapter 13. Again, this is 40 years earlier. At the end of 40 days, the 12 spies returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh, in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's some of its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad, or the scripture also translates that in some versions, an evil report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Do you hear the contrast between Joshua chapter 2, the report of the two spies, and here, the report of the 10? Joshua and Caleb appealed to the people and said, what they've said is true. The land is flowing with milk and honey. There are fortified cities. There are peoples there. But because God told us what to do, we can certainly do it. But the others focused on themselves. In our own eyes, aren't we as grasshoppers before these others? They looked at the fortified cities. They looked at the adversaries. They looked at the conditions. And what they saw was not how big their God was. They saw how small, how little, how futile their resources and abilities were in contrast. Now, what I'd like for you to do is turn to another passage that talks about this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses in verse 24 is actually recounting to the people just before they get ready to cross in to the promised land. He's recounting what happened 40 years before. And I want us to read this passage together. What we're trying to do is we're trying to be a people. There's a skill that we're talking about today, which is to look for the testimony of what the Lord is doing. When the two spies went into the land, they met someone there, Rahab, and she told them the report. God has gone before you. God has spoken to us, and the fear of the Lord has come upon us. We've heard the signs and the wonders. We've heard the testimonies about your God. And as a matter of fact, she expressed faith in God so much so that she said, "When you come into the land, I want to be a part of what you're doing. Have mercy on me." And they had mercy on Rahab and her whole family. God opened up a door. When they went into the city, they stayed with her. And the scholars teach us that she had probably a place that was like an inn. It was a place of welcome. It was a good place to find out about people. And yes, she had a broken family line. She had a family line that was messed up. She was someone involved in sexual immorality for a price. But it's amazing to me that God had mercy on Rahab. God had mercy on her family, and she's remembered as one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. She's remembered in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 for her faith. And she's remembered in James chapter 2, verse 25 for her good works. God took a life that was broken and redeemed it because our God is at work in the culture around us. And then we think about Rahab. She is only one of four women mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. The other three are Tamar in Matthew 1:3, Ruth the Moabite in Matthew 1:5, and the wife of Uriah, Matthew 1:6. So think about this. Someone whose lifestyle, someone whose vocation, someone whose life was terribly messed up, met God, heard the report, and instead of fighting against what God was doing, she joined sides with God in her land and said, I want to be a part of what God is doing. The people of Moses' day, these spies went in, and instead of saying, we see the testimony of God, we see what God is doing, and we want to partner with that, they were not of the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. They said, oh my goodness, the land has too many walls. The land has too many gates. The land has too many giants. The land has too many barriers, too many obstacles. There is no way. They weren't looking for the testimony of what the Lord is doing. Calvary, in this hour, God wants us to be a people who learn to pay attention, who learn to see, who learn to cooperate, who learn to celebrate, and learn to partner with the Lord who is already at work all around us in the land in this hour. So I mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 1, and you're there, verse 24. And this again is Moses speaking. They left and they went up to the hill country and came to the valley of Eshol and explored it, taking with them some of the fruit of the land. They brought it down to us and reported. They said, it's a good land that the Lord our God is giving to us, but you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Again, he's speaking about 40 years before. He's speaking to what happened when they listened to an evil report, when they failed to see what the Lord was doing in the land. You grumbled in your tents and you said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us up out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. Even the Anakites are there. Then I said to you, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid to go up. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way until you reached this place. But in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God who went ahead of you on your journey in the fire by night and the cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this generation, this evil generation, shall see the good land that I swore to give to your forefathers, except for Caleb, son of Jephthah. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land that he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me and said, you shall not enter it either, but your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones, listen to this verse. And the little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land and I will give it to them and they will take possession of it. Isn't that an indictment? You said you were worried about your children. You were worried about what was going on in culture. You were worried about what was happening all around you. And he said, so you withdrew, you would rebelled. You said no to what I wanted to do. And he said, the very children that you were worried about, they're going to actually possess what belonged to you. They're going to get to inherit it because you chose not to believe me. What an indictment. Calvary, in this hour, I believe that God is wanting us to be a people of faith. In Joshua chapter 1, he says, I've given you my promises and I've given you my presence. I am going up with you. Let's do this thing together. Calvary, in this hour, God is calling us to be a people like that. God is calling us. We're going to speak about just a few principles about how we pay attention, how we look to see the testimony of what the Lord is saying. But I want you to hear these two contrasting stories. One, in Joshua's day, two of these guys came back and said, hey, God's gone ahead of us. God's at work. Let's go for it. 40 years before, 10 came back and said, well, the report is the land is everything that was promised, and there's no way that we can do this. Now turn to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Aren't you glad you brought your Bibles or your app, or you memorized it as you're filing through your memory system? That's awesome. Joshua 5, 13. Now, they're about to go into battle in Jericho, but now as they get close to the city, this is Joshua himself has gone up to look for the testimony. Joshua himself is just not content with sending others. He himself now is going to spy out or to check out the place. So when Joshua went near Jericho, this is verse 13, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with his sword drawn in his hand. By the way, just a parenthesis, this is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord was already there and was already at work. So I want you to have that context. So Joshua goes and he gets closer and he's looking and he meets this man. He meets the Lord Jesus in his revelation with his sword drawn. And Joshua went up to him and said, hey, are you for us? Are you for our enemies? Good question, right? I mean, that's logical. And the Lord says, neither. I didn't come to join your side. How about you joining my side? That's the paraphrase. Neither, the Lord replies, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. The Lord was already there. The Lord was already at work. Joshua chapter 2, the Lord was already there. The Lord was already at work. Those spies saw it. Joshua sees this. 40 years before, the 10 spies did not see that the Lord was already there and was already at work. They could not see what the Lord was doing. They could only see what the enemy was doing. And in this day and time, when people are polarizing and saying, are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you conservative? Are you liberal? Are you here to believe this or that? The Lord's saying, give me a break. I didn't come to choose sides. What side are you going to choose? I've been labeled so many things lately because of different things that I'm involved with. To this group, I'm a liberal. To this group, I'm a fundamentalist. To this group, I don't even know what I am. Did you know in this day and time, we just need to listen to what he's saying? And then we need to partner with what he's doing. And Jesus, you know, they said of John the Baptist, you know, here comes a teetotaler. Then they said of Jesus, all you are is a gluttonous drunkard. And Jesus said, wisdom will be vindicated by our deeds. Amen? People are going to label us. People are going to point fingers at us. Christians need to stop doing that to one another. Christians need to stop polarizing. I believe the Lord is here to take over and take control. And right now, it's really messy as he confronts the different views and values. And just because you have a certain persuasion or philosophy or belief doesn't mean that you've got it all right and you figured it all out right now. And you might be right, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, you might be right, but if you don't have love, then you're a clanging cymbal. You're a loud, noisy gong. With our polarization today, with our putting people in categories, where with us just stereotyping people, the Lord is saying, there's a better way. My way. We're going to talk about some of those skills. Now turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This is another time when the Lord appointed some people to go before him. He sends out the, one scripture version says the 70, one says the 72. Jesus has sent out the 12 in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 9. And here in Luke chapter 10, he sends out 72 or 70. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. We'd rather go as a lion, wouldn't we? And the Lord says, hey, aren't you excited? Aren't you excited? Lord Jesus, the sheep, they're on the wrong end of the food chain. What? Lord, I want to be the lion. I want to be the wolf. You go in weakness. You go in dependence. You go in reliance on the shepherd. Wow, we could preach all day on this passage, but we got four passages to cover, so we don't have time. Let's keep going. He says, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone else on the road. What he's basically saying is don't weigh yourself down with a whole bunch of luggage. When we travel on mission trips, you should see the luggage that goes with us as we go overseas. It's a lot. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Oh, I don't like the porridge here. I don't like the bed here. I wanted a 5-star house, and this is a 1-star. He says, don't do that. He says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of heaven is near. What are some principles that we can see in these passages, these different passages of Scripture, to join the Lord in what he's doing on his mission around us? Number one, recognize and realize that the Lord is at work and has gone before you. Young people, the Lord is at work in your school. Lord is at work among your teachers, your friends. He's at work. Calvary, God is at work in your neighborhood. He's at work in our community. He is at work in the marketplace, the business place where you go. He's at work in the shopping place. God has already gone before you. He wants us to recognize and realize that he's already at work. That's John chapter 5, verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus says to his disciples, my Father is already at his work to this very day, and I too am working. God the Father is on mission. The Lord Jesus Christ is on mission. They are partnering, they are working together, and the Holy Spirit is with them. And God wants us to recognize and realize that the Lord is at work and has gone before us. So we need to have a posture of faith which recognizes that the Lord has gone before us and is already at work. It's just that simple. It's a posture of faith. In Moses' day, the 10 brought an evil report, and the Bible says it was evil because they chose not to believe. They could see what God was doing, and they chose not to believe. So, you can look at our culture and see all the reports of the news, media, social media, and it's hard to see what God is doing. But I want you to know, even in the midst of a storm like Hurricane Harvey, our God is at work. And he's not finished yet, even in the midst of tragedy. So we are called to join Jesus on his mission, to partner with him. And Scripture teaches us that sometimes we get to prepare the way for more of what the Lord wants to do. It's a both and. Like in this passage, the Lord is saying, I want you to go and prepare the way. The Lord has already gone before. He's already doing things. He's raising up the people of peace. He's raising up the places for them to stay. But he actually says, I want you to go and prepare the way. So is it you at work, Lord, or is it me? Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we've got our part to do. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is at work. Lord, does it depend on you or does it depend on me? And the answer is both. God has a part and we can't do his part. We have a part. God won't do our part. So we need to recognize and realize that the Lord is at work. Number two, pay attention and scout out your communities and cities looking for the testimony of what the Lord is doing. Again, in Moses' day, the 10 spies brought an evil report. The testimony of Moses, Aaron, Joshua and Caleb was unable to swing the people. It was unable to swing the people's faith, and they believed the evil report. I want to tell you, don't listen to evil reports. Don't feed your soul on what the enemy is doing or on the brokenness and darkness around you only. For some of us, when the hurricane hit, in, I guess, the Rockport area and down there, we were stuck in our homes and life was changed as different subdivisions flooded. And for more than a week, a lot of people just watched on the news what was going on down there and then watched as the flooding began to happen here. And all that people did, because they couldn't get out of their homes, is they were reading on social media, they were watching on the news, and many people were traumatized by the reports of all the things that were happening. And news reports came up and talked about Rockport being forgotten, Rockport being forsaken. Well, the news media didn't talk about Somebody Cares that was there as soon as the sky cleared. It didn't talk about all the things that were going on in the neighborhoods until later, how God was already at work through people staged, ready to respond well before the government was ready. Why don't they talk about all those good things? Those good things don't sell, right? And in social media, what spreads faster? The good news or the bad news? Now, some of us are in social media. We know all the crimes happening in our area in real time. And some of us are prone for that, creating fear and hesitancy and not going out. Did you know those crimes were going on before you knew about them? Is that true? Now, I'm not saying be unwise. I'm not saying we shouldn't know about that stuff. But, oh my goodness, if you're only looking at the bad, what about the testimonies of the people who do good? 290 is a serious issue right now. Amen? We need a miracle to be delivered from our Jordan River. And the other night, I was talking to a lady who had had an accident there in one of the parts where there's no shoulder, which is most of the parts. And it was amazing how people stopped and helped and got out in this three-car pileup. And I was talking with some friends that were here from California, and they were watching people get out as I was taking them around to go to different churches that were flooded and pastors' homes that were flooded. They'd come with an offering to help from about eight churches there. And we saw a couple of accidents, and we saw people merging and Houstonians letting people merge in. And they just commented, man, people would not have stopped and helped that person in an accident. And people back home where we're from wouldn't have let people merge in. They would have kept them from doing that. We're of a different spirit. But you don't hear those reports, right? On social media, you just read about the road rage and the other rages and the rages. And it's bad news, right? There is good news. How do you find that? Well, you've got to pay attention. You've got to look. And I just want to say, don't just focus on darkness and brokenness only. Look at the world around you in the context of believing and looking for what the Lord is doing. With God helping us, we can advance against the giants of the land, against the gates of hell, the strongholds of darkness. We can do that because our God is with us. Don't go by what you see in the natural. or by the words of people on talk shows or social media only. The first spies only saw in the natural, and they repeated it and gave an evil report. I want to tell you, look for people in places needing deliverance, healing, justice, and wholeness, and say, in those areas, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I want to be a part of that. Let's go tackle the mountains. When Joshua gets his land, he's helped everyone fight all over the land, and he goes back and reminds Joshua, God promised me those mountains over there, and he's in his 80s. He said, God promised me those mountains. I'm going to go take them now. You couldn't keep him down. He outlasted a generation that died because he said, God has promised, God is with me, and I'm going to get to finish what he started. Don't you want that spirit? In this culture, it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to get discouraged and afraid. That's why three times he says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. He says, be strong and be courageous three times in Joshua chapter 1. And I tell you, in the days ahead, we're going to need that more and more. Number three, listen to those who are already there and build relationships with them. The spies in Joshua's day, they connected with Rahab. That's different than most of us. We're not open to connecting with people that are broken and needy. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus told the 12 to look for people to stay within the community who are worthy. And he described worthy as someone welcoming or hospitable or cooperative. That's a really low bar. Amen? He didn't say only look for believers, only look for people already converted, already look for people who are building great churches. He said look for people that are worthy. And he says welcoming or hospitable or cooperative. The 72 followers of Jesus whom he sent out in Luke chapter 10 connected with the people in the communities. They just went to all these different villages, and then they stayed with the person that opened up their home to them. The Apostle Paul looked for people in places where he can connect when he made mission trips. So, number three, listen to those who are already there and build relationships with them. Don't go in as an expert. Go in, don't go in to tell them what to do. Go in, build relationships. Listen, dialogue, and learn. Number four, look for persons of peace. For those who are welcoming or working on wholeness, well-being, and human flourishing. That's in Luke chapter 10. He talks about the person of peace, verses 6 and 8. A person of peace, or that word shalom in the Old Testament, in the New Testament's eirene, but the New Testament writers pick up on shalom is not just peace or absence of conflict, as it's defined in our English language. Shalom means wholeness, well-being, and human flourishing. It's actually the Old Testament word for the kingdom of God. It's the best way to describe this word, peace. So a person of shalom or peace is a person who welcomes the gospel of the kingdom of God as the message of wholeness, well-being, and human flourishing as Jesus intends. Or that person can already be at work on shalom, and they might not even know the Lord. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, would be a person of shalom. He was a person of prayer. He was a person of almsgiving. Even as a Roman centurion, he was still a person that God said, that's a person of my kingdom. I'm going to send Peter to him to win him so he'll know me personally, because he's one of those people of peace. My friend Ken Schumann says it well. He says, look for people who are open to the kingdom message of peace or shalom. Find the shalom person, the person of peace. Talk about what's in your heart for restored wholeness and see who gets stirred up by that vision. Talk about the broken places and what it might look, what life might look like to be whole and to be established in wholeness. If God's mission is restored wholeness in every dimension of life, then you'll be willing to partner with anyone who's willing to work with you in the work. Who has this vision? Who is already there? Find them and work with them. Instead of drawing the circle small and smaller and smaller where no one can help you, keep it really big and work with anybody that's open for wholeness, well-being, and human flourishing. And don't be afraid of being changed by them. You are salt and light. You are to be the influencer, not to be influenced. That's what God's called us to be in this hour. Number five, bless whatever the Lord is doing and ask the Lord what he wants you to do. I'm going to give you just one more point, number six. So, number five, bless whatever the Lord is doing and ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Here's another way to say it. Pray and work for the opposite of what you see the enemy doing. If you can't remember the positive, which is to bless whatever the Lord is doing and what he wants you to do, then whatever you see that's evil, unrighteous, that's not right, pray the opposite of that and work for the opposite of what you see the enemy doing. For example, if criminal activity begins to escalate in your neighborhood, in our city, in our community, if it spikes, then pray for justice, for protection, and for righteousness. If fear begins to spike in the news waves and in social media, pray for love and mutual respect to flourish. If people polarize, pray for peacemakers to arise and for people to learn how to listen to one another and dialogue without condemning. Those are examples of praying the opposite. What we want to do is bless what we see the Lord doing, and we want to partner with him and ask him what he wants us to do. If you can't remember the positive, whatever you see that's negative, pray the opposite of it and work for the opposite. Number six, remember to proclaim and demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 9. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It talks about that we have both words and works to do. We have a ministry to demonstrate what it's like when God shows up on the scene. Thus, ministry team training. How do we partner with God in healing, salvation, deliverance, and encouragement? And we have words. We have to tell people what it is that the Lord is doing. There are works and words. In the Bible, there were many illustrations, like in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit shows up, and the people wrongly assumed that these men were just drunk when the Holy Spirit showed up. They didn't know what to do with the rushing wind and the noise. They all gathered, but they made a wrong interpretation. So Peter had to say, this is that. This is not drunkenness in the natural. This is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and let me tell you about the one who sent it. His name is Jesus. So there are words and there are works. We minister and we proclaim and we demonstrate what it's like when Jesus shows up. So we have a ministry of show and tell, words and works. We declare and we demonstrate what it's like when the Lord shows up, what it's like when he comes to rule and reign. Calvary. Those are just some principles, just a few of the principles gleaned from these different passages. In this hour, God is calling us to be a part of a generation that looks for the testimony of what the Lord is doing, and then we join him in what he's doing. It's just that simple. Would you please stand? Lord, we believe that you're speaking to us, that you're speaking to people actually all across the city, the nation, and the world. And Lord, you're telling them, I'm on the move, and I want y'all to get in on it. Lord, we want to be a part of the Joshua generation. We want to be a part of the generation that sees and hears the testimony. We pay attention to what you're doing, and we get in on it. Lord, today, as you're speaking, I ask for you to help us, and I ask for you to minister among us. I was praying about ministry time today, and I believe that one of my assignments this morning is to recommission us. I want to commission people to go into their spheres of influence, to look for, to bless, and to cooperate with what the Lord is doing. So I'm going to pray for divine appointments. I'm going to pray for opportunities. And I'm going to pray for release of fresh anointing. If you want a fresh commissioning, I want to invite you to just hold your hands out. It's like this. And that's the posture of I'm receiving. And I just want to pray. I felt like I had an assignment to pray for us this morning. You just receive. Lord, in your name, I ask you to come now by the power of your Holy Spirit and commission us afresh and anew in our spheres of influence. Lord, would you come and would you embolden and would you empower us to look for, to bless, and to cooperate with what you are doing around us. Father, we don't want to just see the evil and the bad. Lord, that doesn't take any help or anointing. God, we want to be a people who see what you're doing, who look for it, bless what you're doing, and partner with you. So, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, for those of us that are receptive, I ask for divine appointments with people of peace in Jesus' name. I pray for divine conversations. I pray for divine relationships, not for projects. People are not projects, but they're opportunities for us to build relationships. Lord, I ask you for divine appointments in Jesus' name. I ask you for opportunity to proclaim and demonstrate good news. Lord, would you give us conversations where we can point to you, the one who loves us, forgives us, heals us, saves us, and delivers us. Lord, would you help us to tell our story, to listen to the stories of others, to ask permission to share our stories. And Lord, would you come and back up our words with powerful demonstrations. Would you release signs and wonders to the glory of Jesus? Would you speak, Lord Jesus, with that deep conviction from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5? As we're having these conversations, would you speak to the hearts and lives by the power of your Spirit? And may people experience your good news. And Lord, I'm asking you for a fresh anointing today to partner with you and to do the works of Jesus. Lord, just like the disciples did in Acts chapter 4, we ask you for boldness. We ask you for courage, not to just speak our words, but in dialogue, in conversation, in listening, to begin to partner with you and to see fresh release of signs and wonders. I ask you to back up our words with healing, with salvation, with deliverance and encouragement. And Lord, we believe you to do that. Lord, I want to ask you to refresh and renew our faith and our training. Calvary, the second thing I wanted to pray for is I believe the Lord wanted me to challenge us today. Wanted us to be challenged to refresh and renew our faith and our training. The truth is we leak of faith in action. Our culture just will grind us down. The Bible declares that the enemy is a dragon. Francis Frangipan says he's a drag on our faith. Calvary, I want to encourage you, do different things to get your faith re-energized, to practice, to get training. We all leak of faith in action. I have met people all in our culture who believe in Jesus, who believe he's the King and believe that he's still God, and they don't ever pray for a single person. They don't ever share. They don't ever work with him. They don't partner. Their belief is an intellectual agreement, and God has called us to be people who do, who partner with him. Ministry team training is one thing. But Lord, I pray that those that you're challenging here, you're challenging me, Lord, to not just be intellectual, to not just be people of information, but God, I pray that we'll be a people of faith and action. I pray that we will not be like those who, quote, believe and do not do. But I pray that we'll be men, women, boys, and girls of action in Jesus' name. Third thing, ministry team members, could y'all come on up here? We're going to need a lot of people to help us pray for this last one. Need a lot of ministry teams.